Abba, Baraba, Yeshua, Ruach HaKodesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Life is a journey, an amazing story. And I would begin this morning by reminding us of some words from the Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Sam and Frodo have found themselves walking alone. The Fellowship of the Ring has been broken. Gandalf has been lost in the mines of Moria. Boromir has betrayed the Fellowship and has died at the hands of the orcs. Merodach and Pippin have been captured by the orcs. And now Sam and Frodo have found themselves in the dark and dangerous road to Mordor. And as they walk along, Sam turns to Frodo and says, "I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into. I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into." And that is what confronts each of us in our life, is it not? Just what sort of tale is this that we have found ourselves in? Is it, as Macbeth said, a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury and signifying nothing? Or is there something more, something much deeper into which we've fallen? A tale of meaning and life, the story of fellowship and community, a story of life and of love. A story that begins with whispers from God, when God called our name in the darkness, called us to a life of intimacy with Him, and set our feet on this path on which we now find ourselves. And who would have guessed that we would be part of such a tale? Just what sort of tale is it that God is telling us in the scripture stories that we heard read this morning? Begins in Ezekiel, and there God takes a sprig, an insignificant sprig of a tree, and plants it and becomes something amazing. God nurtures it and cares for it and becomes huge and massive and wonderful. From nothing, God makes the sprig something beautiful and something significant. And Jesus loves to tell stories, parables. And the Gospels are filled with them. And we have two this morning. In the modern era in which we live, we often do not use our imaginations when we hear stories like this. We tend to think that everything must have one meaning and that there's something behind each story, some specific lesson. We become distracted then by irrelevant details in the story, so much so that sometimes we forget to actually listen to the story itself. We become so concerned for the trees that we've missed the forest altogether. Jesus intended that these stories, these parables, would elicit a response from the people who heard them. He was not giving them a history lesson, nor was he creating an allegory with deep and hidden meaning. His stories, by and large, are straightforward and earthy, and the messages are intended to be understood. Even sometimes they are intended to make the persons hearing them uncomfortable. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with taking those parables and analyzing them and comparing them with other ancient stories and even diagramming their sentences, if that's what you wanted to do. But if we don't listen to these stories and approach them with ears and eyes and heart wide open and hearts ready to receive them, they may very well fall on deaf ears. Jesus once said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I think trying to explain the parables is a little like trying to explain a joke to someone who doesn't get it. If you have to explain it, it isn't funny anymore. And if it isn't funny anymore, then it isn't a joke. Just so, if a parable doesn't engage us into thinking about our lives, and if it doesn't stir our imaginations and make us think about our values, then it fails in its mission, or perhaps, rather, we have failed in our listening. The best way to study the parables is to listen to them with all our hearts, our imaginations on the ready, and our faith engaged. So let's look at those two parables this morning. First, the kingdom of God is as if a farmer would take seed and scatter it on the ground, and should go to bed and sleep and rise the next day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and the farmer does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. That's the parable. Simple. Direct. So we might ask, what does Jesus mean by telling us this story? Well, let me share some thoughts that I have. And let me assure you again that I am not giving you the meaning to this parable, as perhaps Jesus intended it. I am sharing with you what my heart heard when I read it to you. The movement of God in my life is natural. Just as it is natural for the soil to bring forth the blade and the ear and the grain from sowed seeds, so too does God's word grow in me if I allow God to work in me and in my life and in my heart. And just as there is a time for waiting for the harvest, there is also a time of waiting for God's word to become real in my life. God has sown seeds of life within us, and through his grace and love, it will bear fruit in due season. It will bear fruit. Wait for it. I have heard this parable this way because of what is happening in my life. I am grieving the loss of something that was precious to me. I've done all that I can, and now I must wait for the grace of God to heal the wounds. There is a time of waiting upon his grace, a time of waiting for new shoots to be born in a hurting and broken heart, a time for me to be patient as God brings about life again, a time to wait for tears to be dried, for the wound to be healed, for the brokenness to be mended, and to trust that the harvest will come. Is that what you heard in that parable? Perhaps, but possibly you heard something else, because maybe you are in a different place in your life than I am. And so Jesus' words touch something deep within you that he desires for you to hear. I'm reminded of Isaiah's words given to him by God, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and return not again, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." There is a purpose in this parable. A purpose so shall not return to God empty, but shall accomplish God's intention for it. God's truth lies buried in these words. And while there may be something different for each one of us that hears, that does not mean that truth somehow is relative, but rather it means that our understanding is partial and incomplete. But that over time, as we wrestle with these words, and as we allow God's grace to work in us, we begin to grasp the wonder and the glory of what God is saying to us, and then we allow the word then to shape our lives. And don't worry, it's okay if we don't get everything all at once. Like the seed, it grows slowly. It needs to be nourished and watered. But in due season, it bears fruit. It shall, and so shall we. Now a word about that second parable. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches. The birds of the air make nests in its shade. That's the second parable. What do you hear? How does this story touch your life? What might it mean? Let me again speak to you from my experience and my sorrow. What kind of image do I see when I look at my loss in life? I feel diminished, insignificant, unimportant. I am hurt, and so I feel abandoned, broken, and perhaps even God has forgotten me. And yet Jesus reminds me in this story that while it may seem that I am nothing, like some small, insignificant seed, God cares for me. And he has something meaningful for my growth, for my life. Even though I may feel cast aside, may be broken, may feel empty, yet I am more wonderful than I can even imagine. God has bigger plans for me than I would ever have guessed, even though I do not feel that way now. God speaks to me gently and reminds me that I am precious and that there's something coming that shall indeed provide shade for others. Is that the meaning of the parable? Is it? Perhaps not. But that is what my heart has found in this story, in these words. Because my heart is searching right now for God, for his love, for his mercy, his touch. And I discover it and find it in these words. What do you find? Do these words remind you that you have an important part to play in God's kingdom? Good. I hope they do. Do these words remind you that God has plans for you, most insignificant things, and that even these things can bring shade and comfort to others? Good. I hope that's true. These parables may speak to us of healing, or stewardship, or faith, or responsibility, or hope, or love, and that is all good. And if we find that they do, I trust that we do so because God intended just that for us. Parables are, after all, love stories, I think. Stories that entreat us to enter into God's thoughts for a moment in time. They speak to yearning hearts, sometimes convicting us of our short-sightedness or worse, and sometimes reminding us that we are loved and cared for, reminding us also that we have work to do, that we are not done yet, and neither has God done with us or with his kingdom. Parables speak to us about a life bound up in our relationship with God, a life woven into a tapestry that God is creating with us and for us and in us, a fabric rich and beautiful, a life with Jesus. Our lives are one piece with his. And so we listen, looking beyond what is seen to that which is unseen, allowing the Spirit of God to fire our imaginations and to fill our hearts. May God reveal himself to us today in the stories that he tells within our lives, as we live out his great story that he is telling to the world through his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives in us, who is alive in us. That, I believe, is the tale into which we have fallen.